Pastor Buddy joining you live right here on a Monday evening around the world on the transmitting Joy of the South, WRB 3.185. We got a great program for you coming in here tonight, and a new series that we're starting, and it is called The Firstborn. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what choices does the firstborn have? The preeminence. And it takes the precedence, if you will, over basically everything that is after it. Meaning that before him, there was nothing made that was made, and neither shall there be anything after him. I am Yahweh, and beside me there is no other. Oh my, that's an awesome, you know, that's an awesome fact. And how I enjoy the facts of the Bible. Do you enjoy it? Well, you know, there's a people that don't really enjoy serving Yahweh. Oh, they give him mouth service. With their mouth they draw near unto him, but their heart is far from him. We're going to go to the 8th chapter, and we're going to get into some really interesting things tonight concerning the firstborn, and we're going to talk about that man that the Bible called a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Firstborn. He's the firstborn. And the Melchizedek priesthood, he was born a king. Oh my, I get chill bumps just thinking about it. But we're going to deal tonight mainly in paganism. Now that the true king, the Melchizedek king, come, the firstborn, and how Satan has removed him just as a sideshow, turned it into a fable, if you will, a myth, and collectively he has turned this firstborn into an image made with hands. And this season, it is so pathetic how that these images, these physical things that lay out here in display, that this is a time of rejoicing in the season. We're going to see how much truth there is in it. In the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we're going to start, and we're going to read a few verses as the Spirit would lead us, and then we're going to play a segment about Christmas and the paganism that is involved in it. And I'm not bringing this just because it's Christmas time, although it is collectively involved in the series that I'm going to preach. We're going to get into a variety of things before we get this series closed out. And the name of this series is Firstborn. I want you to write that down in your memory banks tonight. And we're going to start at the 5th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? Oh my. They hold fast to deceit. They basically refused to return to me. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not correctly or aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? I'm not doing nothing wrong. Everybody does it. It's not wrong. Of course, he's out of the word. He's got into tradition, paganism, wickedness, mythology. A certain church in Europe has borrowed these pagan rituals and turned them into a physical worship of an external god. But the Bible said in John 4:24, God, Yahweh, is a spirit, and they that worship him built. I hope they will after tonight. The turtle. Remember how the turtles, the sea turtles come and they breed in the sands, the warm sands on the coastals? They know exactly when to leave the depths of the ocean and come, and they know exactly when to return. When the tide comes in, and then when it goes out, it takes them back out into the water of life. You got to know when the tide of righteousness, not paganism, not a ritual. People sit in these pews and they agree, they confirm, they allow this. Oh, it's not for me. Ah, no, but it pleases the children so much. Of course it does. With the things, a little child is going to be tempted to believe these things with all of its heart. That's the evil of it. All this is evil. Santa is only one word in. Is missing from Santa to Satan. Just add an in and you got the whole thing. When Satan, when he gets his claws in you, as Santa Claus, he's going to turn you into the paganism and the rituals of these people who have a perpetual backsliding in their heart. Yea, the swallow observes the time of their coming. You know, out in California, you can set your watch by these swallows that return to San Francisco. But my people know not the judgment. Talk about times and seasons. Of Yahweh. Was Yahweh born in a manger as a firstborn wrapped in swaddling clothes on December the 25th? I hardly think so. That is the mythical, we're going to get into it, we're going to let this brother explain to you the customs and the rituals of the Santa Claus and the lies and the celebrations. The eating, drinking, and being merry, oh yeah, it's got, everything is designed with good, wrapped in a package of evil that people can't resist. You take a beautiful woman, some men can't resist. You take a handsome man, wrap him in, I don't care what he is inside, they can't accept that physical beauty that draws. Well, these things, these customs, have you done your Christmas shopping yet? Well, how do you say that we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? Well, certainly in vain made he the law. We're not under that, Pastor B. That's gone. But it is according as the pen of the lion scribes. These paganistic ways, these changes, these subtle changes that you haven't studied and done your homework, Satan can take you captive at will. And Christmas, he can grab your firstborn and sacrifice him to Moloch. The wise men are ashamed. Men are actually ashamed of what they allow to go on in their home. They can't control their home. They're not masters of their home. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh, and what wisdom is in them? Well, it's just for the children, Pastor Buddy. Therefore, will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them. They shall inherit it, and not those unto whom I gave this land. For everyone, from the least even to the greatest, is given over to this covetousness and this idolatry. From the prophets, they sanction it, even unto the priest, and everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt. In other words, a preacher could come along and cut you with a word. and put the balm of the healing salve of tradition and rub you real good and give you a massage. Tickle your ears. When a prophet has cut them off and told you not to listen to these things, they were ashamed. They committed abomination. Yea, they were all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Oh, my. Who are we talking to here, Pastor Buddy? A blushing people. But these people cannot blush. They have got so seared in the conscience that they're in a seamite way, and they'll kill you by preaching the gospel. They won't support you. Oh, my. I had a couple of lovely people call me today, and they wanted to tithe to me at the end of this civil year that Yahweh had blessed them, and they wanted to share the blessings with me, and I was really touched. Very few people ever do that or call me up and tell me they want to add a fifth part to their vows and their tithes and their offerings, and these children are regular tithers. But they wanted to go a little bit farther. Oh, it means so much. Listen, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defensed cities. Let us be silent there, for Yahweh hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink. Because we have sinned against Yahweh, we look for peace, but no good came. And for the time of health, and behold, trouble. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we got going on here? Well, let's read a little bit further. Take heed, everyone, of his neighbor, and trust ye not a brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slander. What you got me for Christmas? Got your tree up yet? Have you done your Christmas shopping? That's your neighbor. You see him going. You see him getting out of the car with these beautiful, wrapped, ribbon-laced presents. Oh, my. They have talked, their tongue speaks lies. And they have committed iniquity. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen. Jeremiah 10 and 2. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Oh, it's December the 25th. It is the reckoning of the rebirth of the sun. Not to S-O-N. Not the firstborn wrapped in swaddling clothes, but to S-U-N. For the customs of this people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and work of their hands. With the axe they perform it. They bring it home. Tis the season to be jolly. Tra la 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 la. They deck it with silver. And they deck it with gold. Amen. Praise Yahweh. They deck it. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, as we speak, there's people out of the land sitting in their easy chairs drinking eggnog, listening to the Yuletide music. They're in a festival spirit. It's Christmas time. It's Christ's birthday. Oh, don't be dismayed. Don't learn the ways of these heathen. Don't be dismayed at them when they run into iniquity, into the forest and cut down trees. he does around Christmas time. He just adds to his treasure. He says to these that are vain, the customs of the people, as they run to and fro, seeking a Christmas tree, they deck it with silver and with gold and fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree. But they don't speak. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. Oh, my. They would not fear my word and my covenant and my commandments. Oh, really? That's what it says. If Christians in principle are to be guided by spiritual mandates, and history informs us of an unequivocal terms that Christmas is an extra-biblical construct outside of its pages, then what is a Christian to do? The position of the subject is that it is not to appeal to you, but not the ways of the heathen. Turn from the Pharisaical legalism, because in the first century there was no Christmas, the second century no Christmas, third century, yeah, we're getting close. The student of history of Christianity must be aware of the pagan origin of Christmas and all its pagan mystic rituals. That is, Santa Claus, better known or also known as Saint Nicholas, Father Christmas, Christmas tree and lighting, 25th of December as the birthday of Christ. Christians of Christmast was derived from the Middle English Christmas and Old English Christi's Massi, a phrase that was coined around 1038 AD. Christmas, as an occasion to memorize the birthday of Christ, commenced with a Roman emperor who had a penchant for polytheism. Emperor Constantine, better known as Constantine the Great, was born in 272 AD and succeeded Diocletian in 244, and he ruled to 311. As emperor of the Western Roman Empire in 305 AD, as a polytheist, he worshipped the pantheon of Roman gods, and he partook of the celebrations of festivals honoring the pagan deities in keeping with the tradition of his forerunners. On October the 28th, 312 AD, when he was en route to engage an arch nemesis, Maxentius, in the Battle of the Milovan Bridge, Emperor Constantine had a vision in which a cross of light was superimposed upon the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, now keep this in mind, with the words, in hoc signo venis, or with this sign you shall conquer. Coincidentally, he won the battle, and he attributed his victory to the cross and the vision he had seen as the cross was emblazed across the S-U-N. Not long thereafter, with most of the regions converting to Christianity, Constantine himself began to be a champion of his newborn religion, and among other things, he together with his co-emperor, Licinius, signed the Edict of Milan in 313, which gave equal rights to the various religious entities of his kingdom. In 325, he convened the First Council of Nicaea to quell the promulgation of false doctrines in Christianity. Now, get this now. time of worshiping his birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that he wasn't born on December the 25th. You know that's a pagan holiday. It's been around since Nimrod, in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. Christians came up with the idea of celebrating Christ's birthday. Adamantius of 185 to 254 AD was a Christian scholar and an early church father who vehemently objected to the ideal because, for one, it was unscriptural, and secondly, because the ideal was picked from the pages of pagan celebrations. Among the latter was a festival dedicated to the Roman god of agriculture, Saturn, which spanned December the 17th through the 23rd. Another was a festival dedicated to the birth of the Persian god of light, Mithras. Still another was De Natus Solis Invicti, or the birthday of the unconquered sun, Ishin, which was celebrated on December the 25th. Historians have noted that the initial stages of Christmas was characterized by exchanging of gifts, gathering of family and friends for the purpose of feasting, celebrations, all these being cardinal trants and extracts of Roman and Persian festivals dedicated to the pagan gods in antiquity. Thus, our modern-day Christmas is a continuation of prominent and notable pagan feast and the nativity story of the Gospels. Now, when did 25th of December come into play? December was recognized as the birthday of the sun, Ishin. Remember Constantine's vision when he was going out to war? He saw a vision, he said, and there was a prism across the sun in the shape of a cross. Xmas. It's a birthday of sun, and pagan circles in the church coincidentally identified this day also as the birth of Christ. In their early meetings, they established that he had to be born on 25th of December, with the changing of the winter as the birth of the new S-U-N is birthed in the heavens, so it must have been to coincide with the S-O-N that his birthday could be, coincidentally, on December the 25th. It was chosen not because it was a historical birthday of the Messiah, but because it was popular in pagan religions and their celebrations, to which Constantine had been a major practitioner. The biblical evidence is that the gospel says that Mary gave birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Therefore, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks at night. Luke 2, 7, and 8. According to the text of Luke 2, 7, and 8, at the time of his birth, there were shepherds keeping watch over the flocks at night. If you wish to examine and reveal that the birthday of December the 25th, that is winter, would place the shepherds in the open fields in the cold and freezy, rainy plains of Judea and throughout Galilee. Shepherds would most likely have stayed inside and avoiding the freezing temperatures, and so then it points to another day. Well, we know that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the Roman world. This was the first census to take place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went down to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, and there he registered. And this position argues against the fabricated day of the 25th December, because all of the census that they took was in late spring, or at the time of the festival of Passover, where that they could take advantage of those who were in gathering for the festival of Passover. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that he wasn't conceived in the womb until after the 6th month, because Mary was told by Gabriel that Elizabeth was in the 6th month of her pregnancy when it was announced to her that she was going to get pregnant. And I prophesy to you that that was in the season of Tabernacles, the 7th month. Now, the symbolism is outstanding and spectacular with the mind of the Creator. And the protocol is that when the official announcement from Gabriel that she was to be impregnated, then the phase of the ingathering, tabernacles, the sperm, was fixing to ingather into the womb of the little virgin. And she had to give birth somewhere in late spring. And oh, how the devil is so crafty and wise. Let's play you a little segment here of where the traditions of Christmas came from. Ladies and gentlemen, it is something to behold that Satan and his minions have actually deceived the very elect. And you know why? Because Satan is a liar, and he himself is the father of it. Why would Satan want to lie? Why would Satan give his own program? Simply because Satan is a liar, and he's actually the father of it, ladies and gentlemen. He is actually the father of a lie. He wanted his firstborn, Cain, to inherit the blessings. He wanted Cain and his offspring to rule this earth. And to do so, he had to rid the earth of the firstborn, or change, if you will.
Participants on giving, family togetherness.
We're going to get a family togetherness. Let's join our video in progress here and pick it up right here.
All of this is supposedly centered around the worship of Jesus Christ and his birth on December 25th. Where did Christmas originate? What is the origin of Santa Claus? Mistletoe, Christmas trees, holly wreaths, Yule logs, and exchanging gifts. Many seek to put Christ back into Christmas. Was he ever there? Surely the Bible instructs to do all these things. Or does it? I grew up keeping Christmas, and it was a big event in our family every year. We left out none of the usual trimmings of this occasion. On Christmas Eve, excitement grew with every passing minute. After going to bed, I could neither sleep nor wait until morning to see all that Santa had brought me. Christmas certainly felt wonderful to me. I trusted what my parents told me. I had no reason to doubt them. I was not taught to question where Christmas came from or what God says about it. Most never reflect on why they believe what they believe or do what they do. We live in a world filled with customs, but few ever seek to understand their origin. We generally accept them without question. Most people basically do what everyone else does, following the crowd because it is easy. Let's look at the roots of Christmas. Let's see why people follow follow the customs associated with it. Why is it kept on December 25th? The early New Testament church never kept it. Why? This program introduces facts from history and scripture that, when placed together, paint a complete picture. Let's avoid all assumptions and only accept what can be proven. The truth of this holiday celebration will shock you. Nearly all aspects of Christmas observance have their roots in Roman custom and religion. In pursuing the facts, we're going to look at more than the usual number of sources. Again, we want facts, not human opinion or feelings. And the facts you will hear are overwhelming, and they have always been available for those willing to assemble them. We start with the following admission from a large American newspaper. Quote, "The earliest reference to Christmas being marked on December 25th comes from the 2nd century after Jesus' birth. It is considered likely the first Christmas celebrations were in reaction to the Roman Saturnalia, a harvest festival that marked the winter solstice, the return of the sun, and honored Saturn, the god of sowing. Saturnalia was a rowdy time, much opposed by the more austere leaders among the still minority Christian sect. Christmas developed, one scholar says, as a means of replacing worship of the sun, S-U-N, with worship of the sun, S-O-N. By AD 529, after Christianity had become the official state religion of the Roman Empire, Emperor Justinian made Christmas a civic holiday. The quote continues, "The celebration of Christmas reached its peak, some would say its worst moments, in the medieval period, when it became a time for conspicuous consumption and unequaled revelry." End of quote. Think, it was 300 years after Christ when the Roman Church began keeping Christmas. And not until hundreds of years after this that it was mandated to be kept throughout the empire as an official festival honoring Christ. Now follow carefully, because we have much more to cover. Consider these admissions from the Catholic Encyclopedia under the term Christmas. Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the church. The first evidence of the feast is from Egypt. Further, pagan customs centering around the January calends, that's the early days of each month, gravitated to Christmas. Under the topic Natal Day, Origen, an early Catholic writer, admitted, quote, "In the scriptures, no one is recorded to have kept a feast or held a great banquet on his birthday, Christ's. It is only sinners like Pharaoh and Herod who make great rejoicings over the day in which they were born into this world." The Encyclopedia Americana reveals, quote, "Christmas was not observed in the first centuries of the Christian church, since the Christian usage in general was to celebrate the death of remarkable persons rather than their birth. A feast was established in memory of this event, Christ's birth, in the 4th century. In the 5th century, the Western Church ordered the feast to be celebrated forever on the day of the Mithraic rites of the birth of the sun, S-U-N, and at the close of the Saturnalia, as no certain knowledge of the day of Christ's birth existed." Here are more facts from the Encyclopedia Britannica under the heading Christmas again. In the Roman world, the Saturnalia, December 17th, was a time of merrymaking and exchanging of gifts. December 25th was also regarded as the birth date of the Iranian mystery god Mithra, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. On the Roman New Year, January 1st, houses were decorated with greenery and lights, and gifts were given to children and the poor. To these observances were added the German and Celtic Yule rites when the Teutonic tribes penetrated into Gaul, Britain, and Central Europe. Food and good fellowship, the Yule log and Yule cakes, greenery and fir trees, gifts and greetings, all commemorated different aspects of this festive season. Fires and lights, symbols of warmth and lasting life have always been associated with the winter festival, both pagan and Christian. End of quote. Stunning information. I ask, do you care? Consider what another large newspaper admitted regarding who mandated the celebration. Quote, the Roman festival of Saturnalia, December 17th to 24th, moved citizens to decorate their homes with greens and lights and give gifts to children and the poor. The December 25th festival of Natalis Solis Invicti, the birth of the unconquered sun, S-U-N, was decreed by the Emperor Aurelian in AD 274 as a winter solstice celebration, and sometime later was Christianized as a date to celebrate the birth of the sun, S-O-N, of light. End of quote. Dr. William Gooch further publicly confirmed the true origin and nature of Christmas with this. Notice again his repeated mention of the term Saturnalia. The early Romans were not celebrating Christmas, but rather a pagan feast called the Saturnalia. It occurred each year around the beginning of winter or the winter solstice. This was the time when the sun had taken its lowest path across the sky and the days were beginning to lengthen, thus assuring another season of growth, that's crop growth. If many of the trappings of the Saturnalia, however, seem to parallel what so many of us do today, we can see where we borrowed our holiday traditions. And indeed, it has been suggested that while Christ was most likely not born in late December, the early Christians, then still an outlawed sect, moved Christmas to the time of the Saturnalia to draw as little attention as possible to themselves while they celebrated their own holiday. Let's understand. Saturnalia simply means festival or celebration of Saturn. The day of the week Saturday derived from the name of this god, as do all the other days of the week from pagan gods. Sun's Day, Moon's Day, Dewey's Day, Woden's Day, Thor's Day, Frigga's Day, and Saturn's Day. But who was Saturn? Saturn was the god of sowing or planting, the fire god, because heat from the sun was required to allow for planting and growth of crops. He was also worshipped in this dead of winter festival so that he would come back. Remember, he was the sun, and warm the earth again so that spring planting could occur. The planet Saturn was later named after him because, among all of the planets, with its rings and bright red color, it best represented the god of fire. Virtually every civilization has a fire sun god. The Egyptians and sometimes Romans called him Vulcan. The Greeks named him Cronos, as did the Phoenicians, but they also called him Saturn. The Babylonians called him Tammuz, Moloch, or Baal, as did the Druids. These were all simply the various names for Nimrod, the infamous biblical rebel of Genesis 10. Nimrod was considered the father of all the Babylonian gods. There is no mistaking the origin of the modern Christmas celebration, and many more sources could be cited. Let's now tie in other facts. The modern Christmas tree originated in Germany. But the Germans got it from the Romans, who got it from the Babylonians and the Egyptians. The following quote demonstrates what the Babylonians believe about the origin of the Christmas tree. Notice, an old Babylonish fable told of an evergreen tree which sprang out of a dead tree stump. The old stump symbolized the dead Nimrod. The new evergreen tree symbolized that Nimrod had come to life again in Tammuz, who is a false god condemned in the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 8 as abominable. Now, continuing the quote, among the Druids, the oak was sacred. Among the Egyptians, it was the palm. And in Rome, it was the fir, which was decorated with red berries during the Saturnalia. Frederick J. Haskins' book, Answers to Questions, states, the Christmas tree is from Egypt, and its origin dates from a period long anterior to the Christmas era. How many know the Christmas tree long preceded Christianity? Did you? Most aspects of Christmas are not referred to in the Bible. Of course, the reason is that they are not from God. They are not part of the way He wants people to worship Him. The Christmas tree, however, is mentioned in the Bible. Turn to Jeremiah 10, verses 2 to 5. Notice, thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Now let's pause for a moment. I ask, why do countless millions ignore this plain statement of God and read their horoscopes every day? Continuing, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be borne or carried, because they cannot go of themselves. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. This description of the modern Christmas tree is plain. God directly refers to it as the way of the heathen. Just as directly, He commands His people to learn not the way of the heathen, calling these customs vain. Remember this word vain, it will return. Next, the Encyclopedia Americana states, the holly, the mistletoe, the yule log are relics of pre-Christian time. In other words, paganism. The yule log was commonly used in a rite of Teutonic nature worship. Frederick Haskin further states, quote, the use of Christmas wreaths is believed by authorities to be traceable to the pagan customs of decorating buildings and places of worship at the feast which took place at the same time as Christmas. The Encyclopedia Britannica exposes the origin of the holly wreath under the title Celestrales, which are flowering plants. European pagans brought holly sprays into their homes, offering them to the fairy people of the forests as refuge from the harsh winter weather. During the Saturnalia, the Roman winter festival, how many times have we seen this celebration directly referenced in relation to Christmas? Branches of holly, we continue, were exchanged as tokens of friendship. The earliest Roman Christians apparently used holly as a decoration at the Christmas season, end of quote. There are dozens of types of holly. I have personally planted scores of them. Almost all come in male and female varieties, such as Blue Prince and Blue Princess, or Blue Boy and Blue Girl, or China Boy and China Girl. Female holly plants cannot have berries, usually red, unless a nearby male plant pollinates them. So it's easy to see why the holly wreath found its way into pagan rituals as a token of friendship, but also fertility. Christmas is incomplete to many unless it involves kissing under the mistletoe. This also pagan custom was natural on a night that involved much revelry during what were drunken sex orgies. Just like Christmas today, this kissing usually occurred at the beginning of the Saturnalia celebration. Mistletoe was considered to have special powers of healing for those who reveled under it. The Encyclopedia Britannica, under Santalales, states, the European mistletoe is thought to have had special ritual significance in druidical ceremonies and lives in folklore today, its special status as the Christmas mistletoe having come from Anglo-Saxon times. Mistletoe is a parasite that lives on oak trees. Recall, the druids worshipped in oak tree groves. The ancient Celtics associated with the druids used to give mistletoe as an herbal remedy to barren animals to make them fertile. This herb is still referred to as all-healer in Celtic. Like mistletoe, holly berries were also thought to be sacred to the sun god. The original sun log came to be called the yule log. Yule simply means wheel, which has long been a pagan representation of the sun. No wonder people today commonly speak of the sacred Yuletide season. This also explains the round wafer offered at Mass to billions through the ages. How interesting and sobering are the facts of history. The most common justification one will hear regarding Christmas is that people have replaced old pagan intents and customs by asserting that they are now focusing on Jesus. I've heard many say they're honoring Christ in their Christmas keeping. The problem is that God does not say this is acceptable to Him. We saw He plainly commands against it. Keeping Christmas dishonors Christ. He considers everything about it to be an abomination, and we will soon learn why. First, Jesus made a stunning statement, but how many believe it? He said in Matthew that in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Christmas is not a command of God. It is a tradition of men. He added this in Mark, full well you reject the commandment of God, meaning you know exactly what you're doing, that you may keep your own tradition. Every year, throughout the world, on December 25th, hundreds of millions do just that. No wonder Jesus asked this in Luke, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We saw God plainly commands, learn not the way of the heathen. But most people do not fear God, and He allows them to make their own decisions. Human beings are free moral agents, free to learn or not learn what God instructs, free to obey or disobey Him. But woe to those who ignore the plain word of God, believing men can overrule Him. Notice how specific was God's warning to ancient Israel in Deuteronomy 12, and why His warning. Quote, when the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, and you succeed them, and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which, get this, He hates, have they done unto their gods. End of quote. Read and reread this passage.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have this presentation here about some of the evils of the confirmation of these pagan days that man has orchestrated and brought forth through pagan customs and traditions. We need to go to the mountain. We need to pray. We need to avoid the pagan ways of the heathen. We need to not teach our children those ways. We shouldn't participate in anything that is pagan that Yahweh wouldn't approve of. Now, getting back to His birthday, how, if He was conceived somewhere after the sixth month, how could He have been born on December the 25th? It's impossible. And so then, in this series, we shall progress of the firstborn to give you the proper time period that He had to be conceived in, had to be in at least late spring before that He was born in the spring of the following year of, and we believe it was around the second Passover, which would have been in May. Now we have the calendar already completed for this year in the lunar application. We will have it at the printers tomorrow, and we will have the copies sometime after the first of the year. And we would like for you to have a copy of the lunar calendar to worship the true Messiah and His days that He appointed, though not the race of the heathen. And you can join the firstborn in the Melchizedek priesthood, initiated and brought forth to worship Him and Him alone, and have no other gods before you. 800-253-2748. And we appreciate you, and we appreciate your tithes and offerings. We need your help to stay on the air and to continue to bring you truth. If you appreciate truth, if you want to avoid the ways of the heathen, if you want the knowledge, you see, ladies and gentlemen, I was talking to a friend of mine. He came down from Ohio, and we had a great conversation here in the studio. And we talked about how old we were before we even found out what the true name of the Creator is. A lot of people do not even know His name. They haven't been acquainted with Him personally, or they've heard about Him. They sing about Him. They shout in church about Him and call Him Lord and God. And they worship on December the 25th as His birthday. But they don't understand truly the whole truth. It is so easy to learn the ways of the heathen, or to be deceived, or to be altogether raised thinking that you're doing right, like I was, 48 years of age. It's amazing how Satan's power of tradition and seem right ways can enter into your mind, and you don't have a clue. You're in the steel trap of the deceit of Satan. And so then that's how valuable a minister of truth is. Although it hurts you, although he comes against your appointed times, the stork knows his time, the turtles know their time, the sparrows know their time. Do you know your time? Do you know his name? If not, write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Pastor Buddy, 2284. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that, again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that Yahweh can bless you. Call me tonight. I'm live around the world on the transmitting jewel of the sound, WWRB 3.185. It's a Monday evening. It's coming up on 10 o'clock Eastern time. We've got about 4 minutes left in the message. Call me. Code 423-626-2172. Talk to me. Tell me that you love me for preaching the truth. It encourages me. We don't have many friends and neighbors. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of men and women that's still left in the country. They won't bow their knee to Baal. They won't learn the ways of the heathen. And they won't participate, although it upsets family and friends. It antagonizes the spirits of people that think that they're doing right. And we have to suffer to listen to their unbelief and their abuse by thinking that you're doing Yahweh a service. Are you trying to climb the mountain? It's a spiritual mountain. It's high and it's rugged. It's straight and it's narrow. And nothing unclean can walk thereon. Now, not tonight, let's start walking together. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. He's the King of Kings, and he's coming soon after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. I love you tonight. In the great name of Yahweh, I'll see you tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with part two of The Firstborn. You don't want to miss it.